everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome.
To Magic the Amateuring.
Magic.
This is a podcast that you're listening to featuring us. I am one of your co-hosts, Ben, and I'm flanked by my two co-hosts, Maria.
Hi.
And Megan.
Yo.
We're like a flank steak, each of us. I'm medium rare.
I'm that part of the army.
I'm well done. And we're here to talk to you about Magic the Gathering, how to play it, how to get started, how to get addicted, how to maintain your addiction no matter what happens.
Even if you find yourself in a prison.
Throughout eternity, yeah. How do you play Magic when you're in prison? These are things you may need to know after you have to start selling drugs because you started playing Magic.
That's a really good question. I would like an episode in season two of Orange is the New Black to be dedicated to women in prison playing Magic.
They play Scrabble.
They do, but it's like giant cardboard Scrabble.
Yeah, they made it themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That but sounds like fun.
They get real foosball.
Well, Ben, all you have to do is a crime.
And become a woman. But maybe there's a way I can kill two birds with one stone.
What?
You could hold a plastic surgeon on
gunpoint. I could commit third degree becoming a woman.
That is a third degree crime.
Yep. Yeah. It really is.
God. Yeah. Well, on today's show, everybody... We're going to tell you about lots of things, including mulligans. That's right, we had a reader request. I mean, a listener request. If you read this podcast...
You probably have synesthesia if you're able to read the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is a poetic and beautiful disorder.
Yeah, some days I wish I had it.
A podcast is what ducks listen to.
If you read this podcast...
You're a duck and you're literate. You're doing real well for yourself, buddy.
Did you know this show is made out of pod brass?
Mm-hmm, only the finest.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about the big crash on Magic Online.
I hope someday as a guest we have pod Condé Nast.
Who's Condé Nast?
She's a legendary Hall of Fame Magic player.
That is not true.
Thought you were going to say Condoleezza Rice.
No.
If she played Magic, I don't know. My worldview would be so different.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
If Condoleezza Rice played Magic.
Yeah.
She would be real serious.
She'd be super.
Yeah, she'd be just the kind of crossover talent that would finally make Magic mainstream, right?
Yeah.
They'd be talking about it on Fox News.
And Fox.
The Drudge Report.
And Fox News.
Fox News.
We're also going to rap about Magic cards later in the show. Or attempt to. So you definitely don't want to miss that.
Freestyle. Tapping my mana without looking. Raps.
For the noobs. Mulligans.
If you're a noob, perk your ears up. We're about to deliver a truth bomb into your appendix.
First, I'm going to deliver the truth bomb that Condé Nast is a giant media corporation. Let's keep going.
What? It's a company?
Yeah.
That is a woman's name.
It is not.
Condé Nast, that is a lady's name.
It is not. Okay, back to the real truth bomb about Magic.
Yes.
What is it?
What, magic?
Magic is,
No, damn it!
Mulligans?
That one.
Right. So we had a listener request to talk about mulligans. We have talked about mulligans on the show before.
Yeah.
So consider this mulligans 2.0. If you don't get enough information, go back through our archives, you lazy son of a bitch, and find it. Just kidding, I love you.
Wow, Maria, getting aggressive.
Was that too-
I personally am very excited to talk about mulligans again.
Why, Megan?
Because I feel like it's a skill that I am always developing, and I still often the F up.
Yeah, it's a lot like figure skating that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fall down every time you do a routine until the one time that you don't.
Yeah.
And then you fall down more after that.
And if you try to get too clever, sometimes you break your leg.
If you're like, I bet I could go out there wearing only one ice skate and be okay.
And people are like, no.
People are like, don't do it. And you're like, but I think I could, I don't want to waste the time putting on this other ice skate.
I think I can go to six while doing a backflip.
Don't.
Triple sow cow on one mana, not going to happen.
For sure.
Anyway, guys, probably the most important thing you want to think about when you're mulliganing is how many lands versus how many spells you have in your hand and what you can cast when.
Yeah.
Right?
So there are a couple of phrases. I mean, obviously, there's exceptions to everything, but the two things that I've heard are never keep a one lander.
Oh, yeah.
And never keep a five lander.
Mm.
Wow.
Because what if you just keep drawing mana? You're only going to play land.
I don't know. I might keep a five lander
also
depending on what
those two
are.
Keep a zero lander.
Oh, that sorry. Or I thought that one went without saying.
Or a seven lander.
Seven lander. I've gotten the seven lander before, you guys. It's a real thing.
Yep.
It is statistically possible.
Yeah, but keeping a one lander is really tempting. And it is something that I did a bit when I was a really starting out player. And it's really, really risky.
Yeah.
Be okay in some niche situations.
Yeah, I don't keep a one lander unless I'm looking at five cards. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Or you're like, oh man, I have this one forest, but two Sedge Scorpions, and I'm on the draw. Like, I'd keep that.
Yeah, that one might be okay because you can stay alive. You wouldn't, Ben? You wouldn't keep that?
I don't know.
So don't get greedy, everybody. Yeah.
I'm talking like two Sedge Scorpions, forest, a Leaf Crown Dryad.
Okay.
And I'm just getting greedy here. I know. I don't know what the other ones are.
So that's just something real tempting to keep in mind.
Yeah.
So when you're evaluating your hand when you draw it, Ben, what are you thinking
like
about?
It's like never eat a cookie with cocaine in it. You know what I mean?
No.
Ever?
I don't know what you mean.
Like it's like... Okay, technically, once in a while, it's fine. Eat a cookie with cocaine in it.
Is it the 80s in this scenario?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Also, never snort a cookie.
Oh, God!
Ouch. You guys, once I snorted a pixie stick.
Ow.
I feel like everyone did that.
I did not. I will happily say
that. It's so painful.
My nose has not been through that.
Not a whole pixie stick.
Oh, my God! Keep going, like you start
right, like because usually in the stereotypical situation you're being held down and you have to go through that pixie stick before you can get any oxygen, right?
If you're a circular breather, like if you play the didgeridoo and you're from Australia, you might have an advantage. Ben, were you bullied into snorting a pixie stick?
That's what it sounds like.
No, it might have been a sugar packet.
Were you bullied into starting a sugar packet?
No.
Let's also talk about how that sounds worse.
My bullies were not that creative.
Yeah, that's pretty creative. Hey, what are you kids doing? Oh, keep going. That's fine. Thinking outside the box.
Thinking outside the box. I love it.
Ben, what I was trying to say was when you
express
draw your
yourself.
Hand,
yeah.
What are you looking? What are you looking for? What are you trying to evaluate?
You want something to do. You want something that's going to fit into your deck's plan. So if your deck's plan is, I need to play a lot of lands, maybe you want to see a five lander. Maybe your deck will reward you later on for having so many lands. If you have an aggro deck, I want to see a start that will give me a chance to win the game.
Right.
So creatures.
Two or three lands and a lot of two drops, one drops, three drops.
Now, just because... the hand's not perfect doesn't mean it's automatically a mulligan. Then it's a delicate balance. You have to imagine, okay, is my chance of winning with this hand more great than if I went down a card?
Mm-hmm.
And to start with a hand that's potentially better, potentially worse. Do you know the range of all the hands that your deck can give you? It's very deep. It's a very deep subject. But in terms of hard and fast rules, never keep a one lander is a good one.
You know,
that's like to start off with the number of like the ratio of lands and spells. That's probably 50% of your decision right there.
Yes.
The next biggest factor is going to be what the spells are. Are they early drops that you can play? Are they, is it a six mana removal spell? It's not such a great card to have in an opening hand. And then the next biggest factor is probably just, are you on the play or in the draw?
And I think thinking about what is in your deck, like you mentioned. So I know for a fact that I have 7 cards that are either a 1 or a 2 drop. And if I don't draw any in my opening hand, and those were necessary for me being an aggro deck, obviously, if I have that many, you know, low mana casting cost cards, maybe I want to mulligan because my deck is not going to be able to live out its plan. And I know specifically that I have 7 cards in there that I, you know, I want a few of them in my opening hand, at least one. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So knowing what you've got in there, knowing what you've got to work with, like, ladies, if you know you have a good rump, you know to use it. Right? You wouldn't.
Megan is just looking at me like.
You're not going to go to a club with your rump not in your hand. Do you know what I mean?
So you're saying if you get to the club and you don't draw your rump,
right,
go to 6 cards?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because you want to draw your rump. Because if you just draw your hands and your elbows, those aren't going to get you anywhere.
Unless, like, your hands and your elbows was your plan. Like, if you're a hands and elbows girl.
Totally.
Then you want to draw hands and elbows.
I would say don't mulligan to a specific card in your deck.
Okay, yeah. That's not the metaphor I was going for.
By rump, Maria didn't mean a specific card. She meant your plan.
Rump. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought rump was like short for trump, your trump card.
No.
Yeah, so don't mulligan down to my Jace.
No, I mean, like, that's your plan.
Especially if you're playing Theros Limited.
Because you never.
Because he's not gonna be there.
Ah, shit, no Jace. Yeah, I guess I'll go to 1.
Like, the person across from me was like, "Who the fuck am I playing?" They just keep mulliganing.
He must know what he's doing. Otherwise, no one would do this.
So what? I don't know. What are some things that are? I mean, mulligans are so tough. I mean, they're one of the hardest things to get a handle on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as hard as losing a child.
Oh my god.
This
show really a special one.
It really is.
It really is.
I mean, it's experience, right? You getting run over enough games when you keep a bad hand is going to teach you
real quick.
Yeah, you got to refer to your map of battle scars.
Yeah, and in terms of, actually, the ones that I find hard personally are the ones like the 5-landers, where I draw 5 lands and 2, like, decent cards, and mm-hmm. I want to keep that because I'm afraid of getting mana screwed. But when I was listening to some coverage a couple of weeks ago, like, an interesting thing that they said was that if you're mana screwed, it's much easier for you to draw out of that. Like, if you...
Than a flood?
Yeah, exactly.
Screw beats flood.
That's what I'm saying.
Have you ever heard that expression?
No.
Yeah, because if your mana's screwed,
So the expression screw beats flood, the way it works is imagine rock, paper, scissors. Imagine we're playing a game. I'm mana flooded and you're mana screwed.
Yeah.
Ben took my explanation away from me.
Oh, is this what you're gonna say?
That's okay. Yep.
You guys just explain it together. Say the words at the same time.
Okay, Megan. Say we're playing a game.
Yeah, we're playing
a game. I'm mana flooded. And
I'm mana screwed. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
So I play a land, and I say go.
Yeah, and I'm like, crap, I only have 1 land out, and I have all of these awesome spells at 2 or 3 or 4 that I can't play right now. And then I draw a land. Boom. I can freaking play something right now.
Yes, the land has the advantage because
I mean, when you look at a mana screwed hand and you're like, fuck, oh, I'm so dead. They're just gonna destroy me. And then all of a sudden they're just doing nothing. They're just playing lands. You're like, oh, like, what's going on? And you expect them to kind of roll you over, but if they can't do anything and they just give you the time to draw out of it, all of a sudden you have all these spells that you can cast. And they have at most 1 spell a turn that they're drawing.
Yep.
You also brought up a good point that it's important to assess your partner and what kind of deck they're playing.
Yeah.
When you think about whether to keep or mulligan your hand. If you're playing against that red-white heroic deck, you don't want to die in 4 turns. At least it won't feel good.
Yeah.
So you need to have something that's going to be able to keep you alive until, you know, before they kill you.
Yep.
Yeah, but you also have to be realistic about whether or not, you know, do you actually have any good hands against a deck like that?
Are you saying just shoot yourself in the face if you don't?
If I have 3 returned phalanxes.
No, I'm saying jump off a building. I'm saying jump off a building. No, I mean, you don't want to think just in terms of, well, this hand's not good against the deck I'm playing, if you don't have a chance of drawing a better hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you do, I mean, your opponent might just have a start that you can't, you have no hope of beating. Or they might have a specific card that you have no hope of beating. So you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot to spite your shin.
Wow, that sounds like a real saying.
Thank you. Thank you. Just came up with it.
It really is just a learning experience. So if you keep a bad hand and you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe this hand is bad, and then you get the crap beat out of you, remember, that was a bad hand.
And remember, you get one free mulligan into it, a giant.
Hold on. You don't want to become results-oriented either. Just because you keep a hand and you lose doesn't mean it was wrong to keep the hand.
But I'm saying if you had the suspicion, the strong suspicion that it was bad and you kept it anyways...
You still need to evaluate afterwards. Did I lose because I kept this hand? Or did I lose...
Because I was going to lose.
Because I was going to lose?
That's
fair. Or did I lose because my opponent turned into a plasma creature and consumed my board state with his energy tendons?
I hate when that happens.
Tough.
God.
Yeah.
Real tough.
And this, unless you have a level 2 judge, they don't know how to spot that.
It is an invisible process.
Yeah.
And unless the person sitting next to you can smell plasma, you're screwed.
Yeah, and you don't get that ability installed in your nose socket until you hit level 2 DCI. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All those poor level 1 judges, they're just going to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. This guy's having a plasma state all over his board.
Oh,
I don't see anything wrong.
Really bad. No, Mom, I'm having a plasma state. Don't come in. The nerdiest wanker. Crash, crash, bang. Moto has crashed.
What?
What?
Get to the squad cars. There's been a crash.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
I'm jumping out of this building because I had all my money in Moto.
Moto has crashed.
That money's not in my house. It's in Megan's house and Maria's house.
I'm sorry.
In all of your houses and in the schoolyard and under a bridge where some guy died.
No.
You guys, it's like the 1920s all over again. Magic Online crashed recently. And
oh my gosh.
It was bad. It was bad news. Now, I know this might not sound like news to a lot
of
you.
It's like just like the roaring 20s?
Yes. No.
The crashing
bad 20s.
Oh, so 1929.
Yes. 29. January 21st?
Sure.
It's on October.
Oh, okay. Never mind. because you're like, oh, it crashed on me all the time because I use the beta client. Yeah, that's the sad reality of it. But this time was different.
So, the Magic Online Championship.
Mox, aka Mox.
It crashed.
During play.
And I don't think it's that rare for an event to crash, right?
No, sadly it's not, because another event crashed that same weekend.
I think events crash fairly frequently. It's just normally they're not this big. And I think even events of this size have crashed before, and they just, all they can do is refund the entry fees and schedule a makeup event at some point.
So this Mox Championship was a crash, and it was rescheduled because of the crash to the same weekend as GPDC. Now, can you see why this might be a problem? A lot of people who are in that tournament wanted to go play in DC the next weekend.
But some people that weren't in it, maybe they had their confirmation that weekend, so.
And one of those people who was playing in the tournament who got crashed upon, is that the right way to put it?
Also, sorry, I'm going to back up for a second.
Yeah.
They didn't reschedule the tournament. It was like if you had a certain record of, I think, like X and 2 or better, then you got invited to this special event, which is the weekend of Grand Prix DC.
Yes. Mm. And one of the people who was crashed upon, as I so gracefully said before, was Magic Pro Brian Kibler, who is very active on Twitter, and he has a website, and he has developed Soulforge, another fun trading card game. Anyway,
he digital was, objects.
He was very vocal about the crash because he was undefeated, or not undefeated. He had a winning record.
He came over to our house and would not stop his megaphone usage.
He was like 7-0 or 8-0 or something. And he was extremely mad because he had wasted a lot of hours of his day playing, which were completely lost, and he was going to go to D.C. So he wrote a big tirade about it on his website. And Ben is going to recreate some of that tirade for us using his acting skills.
In the 8th round, I was paired against a local San Diego player who I knew. He asked if we could somehow intentionally draw, and I told him that's not possible on Magic Online. We wished each other good luck, started to battle. We were just a few turns into the first game when it seemed to me like he was taking an inordinately long time to make a decision. I turned to the chat to ask him what was going on, then immediately got a notice that I'd been disconnected from Magic Online. My heart sank. Was this really happening? I rushed to reopen the program and get back online. I input my username and password, which are BM Kibler and Shiro, respectively, and sat stuck at the login screen. I closed and reopened the program and tried again. Same thing. As I restarted again, I posted on Twitter. If I get timed out and dropped from the mocks at 7-0 because Mitko is crashing, I will not be pleased.
Ben.
Wow, Ben, that was really great.
Wow. Very Snape-like.
I awoke to find that I had transformed myself into a beetle.
What?
That sounds like Naked Lunch.
What?
Some guy turns into a cockroach.
Gross.
What? Have you guys never read The Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka?
Oh, Metamorphosis.
But he's not a beetle. He's a roach.
What's the difference between a beetle and a roach?
A cockroach.
Beetles are less gross to me, personally.
Is that what it says in the dictionary?
Yeah, that's how you tell the difference.
Yeah. Oh my god. So anyway, he was really mad. He wrote a rant about it. Everybody was mad. I was on Twitter reading this, and it was just like a wall of anger coming at me.
No one's happy about it.
I think it was founded anger. I would probably also be really mad if I spent 12 hours playing and had a super good record and then it crashed and I had nothing to show for it. Anyway, in his
Wait. You get 10 packs. They got 10 packs. Consolation prize.
Not good enough.
No.
I mean, and his point was that a program like this should not be in this state after having been out for so many years.
Yeah.
And they should not be running events of this size if they cannot be guaranteed to finish.
I mean, I would agree with that. It's sort of strange. I feel like because like how else are you going to play Magic Online? They don't have to increase the quality of the product. Because, do you know what? I still play it.
Yeah.
I don't play it all that much, but that's really my time constraints.
Right, so Wizards has no incentive because they're still making money from it.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, like, to be fair to Modo, at least from what I've heard, is that it made a lot of players who before didn't live in great regions for Magic a lot better because they had access to higher quality opponents.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So there's like there is benefit and there is value to the program, but that's not okay to use that as an excuse for having it run shittily.
But I don't think that lack of motivation is the reason why it hasn't been improved.
Why do you think it is, Ben?
I think it's very hard to make a program, a high quality program of that size, if you don't have experience with it. And Hasbro as a company and Wizards of the Coast as a company doesn't.
That's not their specialty.
That's right. Fair. But then you go and you hire people.
Okay, but who do you hire?
You hire, I don't know, whoever's doing League of Legends.
Right. But why would League of Legends is already making League of Legends. They're not for hire.
No, I don't mean them, but I mean like if League of Legends is able to find people to write that program, then like those people exist and they're not all already employed. And this is actually
But how do you find one of them?
That's fair.
How do you know who's going to do a good job?
I can tell you. One thing that Wizards does not do, allegedly, is pay their employees very well. They are good at hiring people, so says Kibler, that are good at magic and like magic, but they don't pay them at a high enough rate to attract the best software developers.
Ben, would you develop software for $40,000 a year?
Yep, and we have been confirmed.
There you go, buddy.
No, I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very much.
Exactly.
So do you think that it might be the first step to making a better program to pay people who are writing your program a competitive wage?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think you've got to have good people, you know what I mean? Even if they mean well and everything.
I will say that I would rather have one person at 80,000 than two people at 40,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
So what Moto has actually done has responded to the outrage that happened and canceled forthcoming events.
Why?
Because they agreed. They said, you know what? You guys are right. You deserve better than this.
But they canceled. So what did they cancel?
They canceled anything basically above an 8-man. So you can still draft. They've canceled daily events. So like Momir Daily, which Ben was a fan of.
To me, that's the crazy part is like they don't have any daily events running and they don't have, they haven't made any announcement as to when those events will resume.
No, they have not. They said we're going to give a status update at the end of the year. What the heck does that mean?
Yeah, is that the calendar year, the fiscal year,
the Jewish,
the Roman Catholic Church calendar?
Oh, if it's the Jewish year, we're going to be waiting for forever, guys.
When does that start over?
Not until next September.
Oh, God. Say it in Jewish.
I don't know.
Do you mean Hebrew?
It's Rosh Hashanah. And yeah, thank you.
We'll be here until next Yentl.
So I guess people are happy that they're finally doing something about it. Like, we just all hope it's not too little too late, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird, it's like your kids complained about the quality of the air conditioning. And you know what? Fine. We'll fix it.
But you just unplug it.
Yeah. It's like, well, we'll see if we can get that fixed in December.
But Mom, I'm sweating. I'm in a pool of my own sweat right now.
Well, who are you trying to look good for? Just sweat it out, Missy.
Oh, God. My fiance.
He's not allowed over either.
He just texted me. We're broken up. Oh, God.
Wow.
I think you're too young to be engaged anyway.
I'm 10. Under this roof. I am 10. I can do what I want.
Hey, Susie, I came to see if you were planning to get married.
Oh, but I thought you texted me that we broke up.
I gotta sweat him out. It's the only way to call off this wedding.
I was making a rash decision.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Even in my current sweaty state, would you still
love
me?
Yeah, I love you. I love you no matter what.
See, our relationship is more mature than that of my parents.
I just think that you're so young, you become very different people. Once you go through puberty, you might wish you hadn't gotten married.
Do you know what, Sandy's mom? If my air conditioner in my home was broken, I'd fix it so that she could be nice and cool.
Thank you.
But if she wanted to be sweaty, then I'd just turn it off.
I only wish I had the legal standing to prevent this marriage. but since we live on a derelict craft in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I do not.
Getting married.
Good thing your ship's camped and you can also marry us.
Oh no, we're being seized by pirates.
Hey, are you guys a priest?
Oh guys, card of the week, am I right?
Totally.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay, my card of the week is Nemesis of Mortals.
Mm.
I really enjoy that card. Again, like we were talking about earlier, mulliganing and cards that you do and don't want in your opening hand, that's true. It's not a card that I love to see in my opening hand. But if anytime I draw it later in the game, I'm usually super happy about it. There's like a really special feeling that a company is casting a 5/5 for 2.
That's true. I'm going to have to stand here across from you, though, and say, I straight up think Nessie and Asp is a better card.
That's fair. I would... It depends. If I'm playing green-black, I might take Nemesis Immortals. But if I'm playing green something else, there's a good chance I'm going to take that Nessian ass.
Ben, break this tiebreaker.
I'd say I'd go with the Asp.
Yes. That's fair. Okay. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. My card is also a green card. It's Nessian Courser. Three for three.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he is.
So much flavor text.
Tons of flavor text from the Theriad.
Yeah,
the reason he's my card of the week is because when he comes down, you're never sad to see that clown.
Save those rafts for later, Maria.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think he's just a good body on turn three.
Oh, he has a good body.
Stop. Take a look Do you remember Dr. Goodbody or whatever? From like that guy who was wearing a bodysuit of organs? Like
what?
There was just all organs on the outside of him and he was like Dr. Goodbody.
Was he arrested?
What are you talking about?
It was like something on PBS. Listener, I know you know what I'm talking about.
I don't think any human being in existence knows what you're talking about.
Feel body.
Look.
Dr. Feel.
You are talking to a very PBS literate person right here.
I swear to God.
I have never heard of Dr. Goodbody.
Okay, maybe that's not what he really was. But it was really disturbing because he wore a really tight, like, one-piece bodysuit that was all organs.
And were you
organs.
The only other person in the room? Was this possibly just a dream of yours?
Yes, I can see it.
When you say organ...
Organs, plural.
You know, Maria, technically, everyone wears a skin-tight organ. It's called the skin.
That's true.
You guys, so far, I'm just getting real Dr. Goodbodies. What do you mean, like, a lot of them have to do with cars.
Yeah, I don't think Dr. Goodbody Auto Body and Paint Clinic is run by a real medical doctor.
Type in a guy with organ bodysuit. Gonna get there. What I meant to say is he's a great body, 3-3 for 3, comes down and blocks a shit ton of creatures, stops aggro in its tracks. You're never disappointed.
Great resale value. Hold its value.
Yeah, absolutely. Megan, what are you getting over there?
Oh.
Are you seeing it?
His name is Slim Goodbody.
I knew it.
Okay.
So I guess he's not a licensed doctor.
No, Slim is a human adult.
What entry are you reading?
The Wikipedia.
It says human adult?
Slim is a human adult who wears a flesh-colored unitard with various tissues, organs, and organ systems painted on the front in biologically
accurate
locations.
You can tell he's human. It's very easy to tell he's human.
It was really disturbing as a child.
Burstein created the character in 1975. Each costume costs $4,000.
This guy is nuts.
Let's see. He has publications.
I don't know what show
he started out. So he started out just doing it like inside hospitals.
Creepy.
And then
like, this is the part of you that
like
has cancer.
Mental institutions.
Yeah. So he did lots of like guest spots on the Today Show and Good Morning America.
They would never put him on now.
Apparently he appeared twice a week on Captain Kangaroo.
That must have been where I saw him. Yep.
And then he had his own television series called Inside Story on PBS.
Or that. God.
That was in 1980.
PBS is a different land today.
Oh, he also has some books.
Anyway, you guys, you're welcome for this tangent. I hope you learned something. Look up a clip of this dude, and I want you to tell me how long you can watch it before you lose your mind. Tweet that at us.
That's a reasonable question.
At MTAcast. I would love to hear how long you can watch Slim Goodbody before you feel like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Ben, what's your card of the week?
My card of the week is that Windrake card. What's it called?
Nimbus Naiad.
Yeah. Just a good card.
It's Windrake with a bonus.
Yeah.
It is just a good card.
It's bonus Drake.
Yeah.
I want to know, do you like want that or do you want the Sealock Master?
Oh, shit. I choose the Naiad.
So do I. Yeah, just straight up.
Over
straight up.
Over a Sea Lock Monster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Nimbus 9. Why would
it's
I want to...
It's huge!
Ben
is just being like,
anything.
Why would you consider something
okay.
else?
Anything I put the Nimbus Naiad on is going to be basically as big, and it's going to fly.
Do you want Nimbus Naiad or the 4-4 flyer?
Horizon Scholar?
Yeah.
Nimbus Naiad.
Oh, Nimbus Naiad.
Absolutely.
Nimbus Naiad or Voyage's End?
Oh, God. Well, I love creatures, so I would pick Nimbus Naiad, I think. But I don't know if that's right. I think it's probably not.
Just take both and run out of the store.
Flavor Text Theater presents Slammin' Raps, where the crew of MTA raps about cards from Theros.
All right.
Off the cuff, BTW. This is not written down.
Not even a little bit. We'll probably prove that very effectively.
Yeah, okay.
You, sir, are a keepsake Gorgon. You traveled all the way here from Oregon.
Nope. The Exos of Miletus, that one sucks.
You, sir, are a cavern lamppad. You're not the best black card that I've ever had. When I draw you, I want to bestow. But man, your cost is high, so that kind of blows.
Yay! Awesome.
You, sir, you're crackling Triton. If you can't do damage, then you're not really trying. You're a 2-3. But if you don't have red, you're bad. Otherwise, when I see you, I'm glad.
You, sir, are Aquia's form. You're a card that's kind of like the norm. When I say that, what I mean is I want to put you on a winged steed.
You, sir, are a borderland minotaur. I think that you and I are gonna go really far. I think that I'm playing red, and in that case,
my opponent is dead.
You, sir, are mnemonic wall. When I play you, it's not card disadvantage at all. I know you'll come back to me if I'm casting a sorcery.
Good one.
You, sir, are a magma jet, and I'm just wondering, are you dead yet? I cast this for 2 to burn your face. That's right, bitch, I just won that race.
You, sir, are Thassa's bounty. You're a mediocre card in any county. I know that you draw 3 cards, but finding the time for you is very hard.
You, sir, are a hopeful Eidolon. There's so many things that I'd bestow you on. You gain me life, and that way I live. And then my opponents face a beating I'll give.
Hey, you, sir, your name is Griptide from this card. Oh, no, you cannot hide. It's coming down on turn 4. Goodbye. See you later. You're Red Boar.
You, sir, you're Catoblepas. You're loathsome, and I want you to pass by. I know you give -3/-3, but seriously, who is blocking thee?
You, sir, are a vapor kin. I'm gonna slam you down on turn 2 for a win. I just keep attacking my opponent's face. And then, once again, I've won that fucking race.
You, sir, are a savage surge. I throw you down to your creature I purge. He goes bye-bye to the graveyard. Oh, good night. That wasn't that hard.
You, sir, you are gainsay for 2 mana. You make blue spells go away. But there is one thing that you lack, and it's an effect on anything that's not on the stack.
You guys, where's our record label?
You, sir, your flame class wheel, 6 mana, 4/3 damage is not quite a deal, but when you consider your colorless, I feel that playing you is quite the steal.
You, sir, are Vanquish the Fell. You're not really a card that makes me go wow, but I guess I could play you on an Arbor Colossus, because otherwise that guy just equals lots of losses.
You, sir, rescue from the underworld. You make enter the battlefields unfurled. I get them once and then I get them again and I get to bring them back with yet another friend.
You, sir, are a phalanx leader. You're a little guy. You're like a space heater. Because you're hot, you pump my whole team. I want you bad, if you know what I mean.
You, sir, are stymied hopes. A counter spell with which my opponent can cope. You only make them spend one more mana, and I'm like, oh, why'd I cast this card, Dama?
You, sir, your boulder fall. 8 mana for this effect, it makes me feel small. But it's pretty good, I guess, if you've got a lot of dorks on your chest.
Dorks on your chest.
We'll move on to create a card.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're going to create a rump.
The card rump, I feel like it, you know, I think it's a red card.
Oh, really?
Because it's red from all that spanking.
Wow. And what does this red card do?
When you play rump, you get, it costs 1 red mana. And Rump is a 0/10 blocker. So it can pretty much block anything. It has reach.
And how much does it cost?
1 mana.
And it's a red card?
Yeah, it's unusual. I'll give you that.
It is really unusual.
But
this sounds like a colorless card. Because any color can have a big rump.
The reason that it's red, though, is because your opponents can slap it by simply tapping one of their creatures. So
you can slap the rump.
You can, when you slap the rump, it permanently loses 1 toughness every time you slap it by tapping one of your creatures. So it becomes a 0/9, 0/8.
Yeah, yeah. Just like if your parents spank you in real life, like that's permanent psychological damage. Yeah.
Takes a year off your life.
Exactly. Rump.
What about this? Rump card.
Okay.
It is both a rump card and a trump card. It's a black card. It says destroy a target creature.
I just thought of an idea, sorry.
But then you get an 06 token. Or you get a token whose toughness is equal to the casting cost of the creature that was destroyed.
Yeah. I can see that.
It costs 6 mana.
Rump card is essentially Artisan of Forms because you can dress it in lots of different stuff and it looks different.
You guys, hold on. This is a card that is all the magic colors at one time. And the way it is, whatever color it is at the moment is, and its functionality is what direction it's facing on the battlefield. So if it's pointing like horizontally, like it looks tapped, or if it's like at an angle.
Yeah.
So in one position, it's a rump card and it's just a dumb blocker. In one position, it's green and it's a pump card and you can cast it from the battlefield to pump one of your dudes.
Okay.
In another... In another iteration,
yeah.
It's a
chump
card.
Card, yeah. It's just a 1/1 blocker. 1/1
chump blocker. That's as many rhymes as I got to.
Mm-hmm. What about the lump card?
Yeah. One. If you turn it in another position, it's just an indicator that you might have cancer.
Lump.
Yeah, that's lump card.
Pump, chump, stump.
Dump card. It's a card.
You can put anything in your graveyard.
No, it's a card where you spend. You can spend 1 mana for no effect. If you need to dump the mana.
Dump the mana.
Wizards, feel free to use this idea.
It's really solid.
I think a card that you can turn to make different colors.
How about it's a stump card. It's a multiplayer card where you just get a chance. You spend 0 mana and you get a chance to appeal politically to the other people players in the game. To not kill you.
Sounds I like thought that it was thing. Like you got a chance to say a riddle, and if it stumped your opponent, then you win.
Yeah, or maybe like a rules question.
Yes.
I like that. Thanks for hanging out with me this week, you guys.
Thank you.
You're my only friends.
Hey, no problem.
It's really been an episode, hasn't it?
It really has. Hey, I want to tease something. Coming up, we're going to have our 50th episode.
What?
We're turning the big 5-0, you guys. Very soon.
Yeah. What?
We're turning 50, Ben. Turn up your hearing aid.
Get off my butt.
And we're going to have a special...
Shout out to my grandma who turned 90 this week.
No way. Yeah. She listened to the podcast?
I have to assume.
Yeah, and we're going to have some old favorite guests back on the show. Guest host Nels and guest host Dan. And we're going to have another basement party like we did for our 21st birthday because we're having a midlife crisis.
50th show, midlife crisis. Yay, basement party.
It probably doesn't matter to you that we're going to be in a basement. But
I think
important takeaways, Dan and Nels will be on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. And some members of the podcast may be getting tipsy. But don't worry, I'll be your designated podcaster.
Another thing to plug real quick is Maria and I made a video.
Yes, we did.
That's of our recent draft. So we did a draft and we made a video where we played each other with our draft decks and then talked about the weaknesses.
As we were playing, yeah.
Yeah, oh. of our decks or the strengths. In my case, only the weaknesses.
But I think it was real cool. So we'll have that up on themeatery.org soon for you guys to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Head over there and check it out. It's a good time. You know, if you're eating lunch and you're like, I got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Yeah.
For sure-sies.
If you guys want to chit-chat us up, follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. You can find us. Okay. Apology to there's someone who on Magic Online messaged me the other day when I was on, but then my client crashed.
Yeah.
As it does.
Yes.
And when I logged back on, I couldn't, like, you know, you can't see chats that have closed.
No, I still don't know how to leave a chat. So sorry if you're like, why is she still in this chat?
Anyways. And I'm sorry that if you say hi and then my client crashes and I never say hi back.
Yeah.
That's because I can't find that chat.
It's awkward.
Speaking of that, my username is horny_unicorny.
Mine is ice cream socialist.
And mine is get off my lawn.
His is middle schooler.
Middle schooler, yeah.
So say hi to us there. You can find us on themeatery.org or magictheamateuring.com.
Yeah.
Subscribe on iTunes. Mm-hmm. We'd also love to have you there because we love to see subscribers happening.
I'm out of here.
Or look us up in the giant wall of floating heads.
Yeah. What number are you? What head number are you?
I am head 12.
Oh, I'm head 375,000,000.
Yeah, I got in early.
You really got on the ground floor on that head wall.
Yeah.
Megan is literally leaving as we speak.
Yeah.
Bye, Megan. And goodbye, listeners.
Goodbye.
It's been real.